I stand in my truth. And Manolo Blahnik.
My love language is good air conditioning.
I love it. Do you love, well, there's not any AC currently because we are recording and we sacrifice our physical and mental health as podcasters. People don't have that conversation. What we do, I recorded an episode last night at 1 a.m. My throat was dry for at least 40 minutes, but I didn't want to dare take a sip. Just the sacrifice that we make as people, as creators. I know that, you know, Whoopi and Rami and Conan are meeting the Pope today or whatever. We just saw those photos on social. But where is our praise? Where is our sweet prayer?
Well, I don't know if I really would love like an audience with the Pope as my form of praise. Like I right now, I feel like he's not the biggest ally to my community.
True. Happy Pride. Bye.
You know, like the vibes in the Vatican are maybe not the most friendly. The last time I was there, I was like 12 years old. So I don't know, how things have developed since then. But, we're working hard here in the Clovis today. It's like 86 degrees outside. So
86.
It's very warm.
It's like more than the real feel is like the real feel. 90s. Ugh. I look the next
couple days. And then it's going to rain later.
Today?
Yeah.
I looked at the weather the next...
Good podcast. Talking about the wonderful, weather.
Wonderful episode. I looked at the weather the next couple of days. Like, I'm fucked. I can't remember if it's... I think it's next week.
Next week, there's a high of like 96.
100. I can't go out. I'm not technically supposed... I'm supposed to like keep to myself when it's 80 real feel. Mm-hmm. So I'm just completely fucked.
Well, my thing is I will have like... I'll be like, okay, so when it's really hot, instead of working from home, I should go to the office because then I can like sit in the AC.
Do you not have AC in your apartment?
Well, I do, but it's like then my Con Ed bill is going to be like $500.
Got it.
And so I'm like, I can go use the office AC for free and it's like better AC. Mm. But then it's like, I have to get myself there. And so I arrive and I'm a puddle. And so I'm literally using like a paper towel in the bathroom to like dry my back. And I'm like, this isn't the dream.
It's not the dream. We need to have a conversation.
I want to go to like Iceland. But like, I want all the amenities of New York, but like in Iceland.
Honestly, what amenities do we have at this point?
Well,
what do we got?
I don't know.
What's cooking? What's cooking? Good looking. I don't know. Listen, you guys, it's Andy's Girls. We're keeping things steamy here in the Clovis. I'm so excited to be joined by one of my absolute favorite people, one of my Bravaholic besties. You know him as the director of social for entertainment at Betches Media, host of Mention It All, creator of Bravo by Betches, sweet baby Dill, SBBD, Dylan Hafer. Welcome back to Andy's Girls. How are we?
I'm so well. Thank you. It feels like I think it's been a minute since I've been here. I don't know. Well, I feel like you and I never know when anything happened.
No.
So like I couldn't tell you on the calendar. Like I don't remember. I think maybe like sometime during Vanderpump, but like that could have been a while ago. I don't think I've been here like in the last couple months, let's say.
Well, that is a grave concern. We need to, well, I was about to say we need to remedy that ASAP, but we quite literally are.
We literally
right now.
Are.
We literally are.
Wow, look at us.
Things are happening.
Look what God can do.
Can I tell you, so I haven't been to a show in forever. You know that I had tickets to Patriots and I couldn't go. I forget why. And I have to make that happen because it's closing soon. But you know,
it closes like next week.
I know. I'm so bad. It keeps happening where I get a TDF ticket and then like something happens. Mm-hmm. But you know what I got tickets for tomorrow that I may or may not go to tomorrow? Ben Platt.
Oh,
it's his last day. I could have gotten very last show, but it starts at 9 and I just wasn't feeling it. So
9 p.m.
I know because it's his last show. Oh, so I'm going to the 5.
Yeah, it's like a concert. I think it's like an hour and a half.
Yeah, it's an hour and a half. Okay. And I'm going to the 5 p.m. I'm really excited about it. I haven't listened to his new album, but the one before I was like obsessed with. And I just want to know who the fuck is going to be his surprise guest because he's doing these concerts on Broadway for like 2 weeks or whatever, however many weeks it was, just super quick little run. And he has a celebrity join him at every performance. And I just want to know who's going to be mine.
Yeah, he's had some good guests. I'm not the biggest. I don't really know his
oeuvre.
Personal music.
Yeah, I know his personal music more than like Dear Evan Hansen.
I saw him in Parade and he was phenomenal. Obviously, Evan Hansen is what it is. I Yeah, I'm not going to get to see his Broadway show, but I'm happy that you're seeing it. I hope it's good.
There's still, I should have texted you. There's still tickets on
TDF. I'm sure there are.
On TDF. I think it's going to be, you know, everything, all the clips that I've seen, I was like, oh, this is extremely the energy that I have in my life now. Feels healing.
Do you know what's going into the Palace Theater after Ben Platt in a few months?
Oh, God. Oh, Audra?
Mm-mm. Tammy Faye, the Tammy Faye Baker musical with music by Elton John. And Andrew Rannells plays Jim Baker.
No.
It was in London last year. That's was supposed to be really good. And the woman who like did it in London and got a lot of
she back
praise. Yeah, she's doing it in New York. Jessica Chastain is probably like, why didn't they call me?
Probably.
I can't wait for that. So
it's wild though when you think of sometimes how different shows hit the boards at once and they're kind of spiritually similar, mm-hmm. that we would have Tammy Faye, but also Queen of Versailles is coming with Christian Chenoweth.
Oh yeah, they're doing the world premiere in Boston this summer. So it theoretically could be on Broadway like this year, next year.
Those feel, I don't know anything about like the books and the music, but those do feel spiritually similar to me as far as like kinetic energy, sassafras,
like a little
lady in the middle.
Yeah, like a little bit of like a delusional blonde lady.
We love with a lot of heart, with a lot of heart.
A lot of heart. Does Jackie Siegel have a lot of heart?
She
has a lot of complaints for the Below Deck crew.
Shout out to was she on Below Deck?
She's been on Below Deck a couple times.
Oh, I haven't seen it in so
long. She's like a repeat charter guest.
Okay, so a friend of mine, shout out to my friend Greg, was like, you need to watch The Queen of Versailles. I forget if it's called that, the mini series or whatever, like for HBO Max. Series,
yeah.
So there's the documentary and then there's the series for Max. And I was like, I don't want to watch that shit because I'd seen Queen of Versailles however many years ago, but I was like, I don't really need to see more of that. He's like, no, you're going to watch it. And it's a real good, it's like a genuinely feel good show. It's so good. I could not more highly recommend it. The love that she has for her family, for her kids, mm-hmm. for her husband. Her kids seem like good and centered. Her older son, whose name is probably a junior, they got a lot of kids. Her older son just seems like really secure and like loves his parents. It's lovely. Wow. It's genuinely, if you need a feel good while you're in the AC trying not to die, I genuinely recommend it.
I've seen the documentary more than once because I feel like it came out at a time when I was that age where I was like a young gay person who kind of just like was like a moth to a flame, but the flame was like tacky rich women.
Love.
And so I was like, oh, there's this like rich blonde lady who's trying to build this garish home and the mortgage crisis might be crumbling around her. But it's been a while since I revisited, and that does sound interesting. Yeah, I can't wait to see Kristen. And then there's Death Becomes Her is coming to Broadway. Yeah. Adina's coming back to Broadway next year. Yeah, just announced yesterday, I think, whenever. It's like it's a musical called, I think it's called Redwood, and there was a production somewhere in California, and it's coming to Broadway next spring.
Is she playing a tree? What's the vibe?
I couldn't tell you.
She gets lost in the wood.
I'm sure. But she and Kristen might be back on Broadway around the same time, depending.
I'm sure they will love that for each other.
Our wallets will cry. Invite me, please.
It's hard because it's like you just get, no matter where you live, there are just things that mm-hmm. you get so accustomed to having access to.
Yeah.
And it could be a great grocery store. It doesn't have to be literally Broadway, but it's just living here for so many years. How many years have we lived here because we're the same age?
We have
lived
almost
here.
Seven. In New York.
Exactly. Yes. Lucky number seven. That math is mapping. Where it's just, after a period of time, I'm just like, what's happening? Where am I? What should I be seeing?
Well, it's also like, I mean, if you're like a normal person of like, you know, somewhat limited means, it's like you can't do everything.
Yeah.
And you have to like just be fine with that at a certain point. So I'm like, oh yeah, like I don't need to see this like probably bad musical that I don't particularly want to see just so I can like check it off a list.
We should probably discuss Bravo for 36 minutes, but before we do, I do want to shout out the Theater Development Fund, also known as TDF.
Yeah.
So if you work at a nonprofit or you're a creative, honestly, you can probably, and you're, or you work in education, you can probably figure out a way to qualify for it.
I don't even think they care anymore.
Oh, do
I
they
think
not?
You can just join.
Oh, you used to have to send a letter.
Yeah, you have to pay for a membership, but I'm pretty...
It's like $30 a year, $40 bucks a year.
Yeah, something like that.
You pay this one-time membership, and then you can go on, log in, and access the availability changes week to week. You do not get to choose your seats. You have no idea where you're sitting until you show up, but you'll get Broadway show tickets. Sometimes they're like, unfortunately, because nobody's going to show sometimes, you could get like genuinely like center orchestra.
Yeah, you know, it varies a lot, but like a ticket is a ticket at a certain point.
Yeah, and it's like essentially like $55. It used to be 40 pre-COVID. And so it's usually like around, I mean, my Ben Platt with the fees was $61.
Yeah,
so.
I think that's like pretty much the standard price now. I let my membership lapse, but I might rejoin.
Oh, yeah?
Well, just because I did it for a year and then I was just like, do you want to renew? And I was like, I'll do it later.
Yeah. And it's incredible and nonprofit. So join TDF if you are in the New York area. So Summer House.
Summer House. What happened. Are we talking about?
We've scoodled away from Broadway into Bravo. A different kind of performance is what we watched occur last night.
Uh-huh.
You and I have both read a Rolling Stone exclusive.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting grabbing my phone so I can maybe pull some quotes right now.
Lindsay Hubbard, while on vacation in Italy, which she does make clear through the course of the piece, did an exclusive interview post-reunion with Rolling Stone where she shared a lot of her thoughts.
It's pretty, like, I know, reading the piece, I understand that the timing of this was like they probably just, you know, whoever at Rolling Stone got the screener earlier this week and was like, hey, Lindsay, can we talk? So yeah. I know that she didn't purposely be like, let's do it when I'm in Italy so I look busier or something. But it is pretty funny, just like the intro to this article being like, we caught up with Lindsay while she's in Italy for Andrea's wedding. And it's like, okay. I just love picturing her firing off some of these pearls of wisdom like in her hotel room while she's like, you know, waiting for Danielle to be ready for dinner or something.
The thing, one of many things that I think the cast holds against her, and I understand it, like there's reason for why, you know, the cast at points doesn't want to fuck with Lindsay. I'm not taking away from that. But it is one of the core values that Lindsay treasures is that she genuinely is very good at PR. She knows how to make a quote and a headline. And just in reading that article, it genuinely is a beautiful mind because like the way that she is able to construct something in her head where she's thinking of a succinct quote, she's thinking of a headline. I know the cast doesn't love that about her, but it really does make it a great read.
Well, yeah. Okay. So I think the one of the quotes that stuck out to both of us was when she was answering the question about being blindsided. And this is something that came up a lot on the reunion, kind of what exactly does blindsided mean? Does she still feel like she was blindsided after watching back the whole season, all of that, et cetera? But her specific, this is just one sentence. Quote, I asked him to get a job and then he broke up with me.
Love it. Chef's kiss.
No other details necessary.
No other details necessary. Like the
why do we need to watch 17 episodes of a show?
I mean,
she asked him to get a job and then he broke up with her.
The difficulty is that I found with the reunion is that there really was no middle ground. It was like the nuance felt like it was being removed. And it to me was a little bit of a missed opportunity of like, instead of saying a little bit about Carl or Kyle, the vibe from Andy down from like Andy cast production seemed to be, let's go all in hard on Linz. And I really genuinely felt like it was a true missed opportunity.
Yeah, it's complicated because I think watching the back half of this season, let's say, I think kind of for most people that I've talked to and most of what I've seen, the vibe seems to be less team Lindsay, less team Carl, and more team like they both had their issues and team, thank God they are not now a married couple who has to whatever. But like, I do agree that like within that, even if you don't think like Carl was 100% right or Lindsay was 100% right, it's like there are a lot of layers. There are a lot of complicated things. I think, you know, Lindsay points out in this interview with Rolling Stone that like in a lot of these episodes toward the end of the season, like the way that Carl is speaking to her or, you know, just kind of handling the situation is like objectively not great. And I think there are also moments where the way that she's handling things are pretty objectively not great. You know, that last breakup conversation was just kind of like painful to watch kind of in every direction. Like I didn't love the way that Carl handled it, but also like for Lindsay to be like, you're just giving up on this without any effort. It's like, oh, I mean, it's like, you know, it's tricky. And I think it makes sense that everyone kind of has complicated feelings about it. But I agree that the reunion, I thought it was extremely watchable. Like, two very exciting episodes of TV. But I think, like, it did feel like we kind of didn't actually get to, like, the meat of some of the dynamics.
Well, we didn't get to the men. It felt, I was surprised. I was honestly taken aback in watching the second episode. Both episodes, as you said, completely agree, totally watchable. And I felt the energy in watching. And there were moments where I was like laughing my ass off and just being like, what the fuck? But it felt like such a missed opportunity. It felt so unbalanced. And I did not understand why there weren't genuine basic questions or redirects about Kyle and Carl and so much focus on Lindsay. And I understand that the cast does not like her or feels like she's manipulative.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened to just a little bit more of what was discussed when the cast was filming? Like, did they not see that she was right at points in talking about Carl being passive aggressive, being a little emotionally, the impact of which was like a little emotionally manipulative at points?
Yeah, I thought it, like, one, obviously, like, a lot of things were said, stuff happened over the course of the season, and like at any reunion, like, you're not going to get to go back over like every individual, you know, line that was spoken. But like, for example, the thing that Carl said a couple times toward the end of the season about wanting Lindsay to be more like soft and tender, like, I don't think that came up at the reunion at all. And like, it did feel like that's a thing where it's like, okay, like, I think that there are valid criticisms of how Lindsay kind of handled the like Carl job situation, and the idea that, you know, is him making money from being an influencer not as valid as her making money from being an influencer? Like, they do get paid a lot to be on the show, you know, like, those, I think that whole conversation is quite interesting. And I felt like we got maybe more of a peek behind the curtain of that this season than we have on many other Bravo shows kind of ever. But then it's like, okay, so we kind of established that maybe Lindsay didn't handle that great, but then also, like, it didn't really feel like then we were like, okay, then it was also, like, a little jarring when Carl's, like, fully avoiding Lindsay when she's sitting at the pool, and then he's like, I just want you to be tender. And, like, yeah, it felt like we could have kind of balanced out the conversation a little bit more, and that there were just certain things that, I mean, I don't know if they ran out of time or, like...
I don't think that was running out of time. I think that was intentional strategy. I actually
I'm saying, like, just in terms of it did, I think it did feel like I think two episodes was the right call. I like a two-part reunion. I think three parts often feels bloated, but it did feel like once we kind of rounded the bend on Sierra and West in part two, it did kind of feel like, okay, now we have like 15 minutes left to talk about this thing that we could talk about for a long time. I don't know if I'm, you know, maybe it was more than 15 minutes, but it felt like we could have sat a little longer with some of the Lindsay and Carl of it all.
I was surprised that so much of the focus was on the breakup and not the relationship.
Mm.
And there was a little bit of muddying the waters there, because then the focus is on Lindsay. We believe that you are lying and trying to punish Carl for ending the relationship and how you encapsulated it in press. Obviously, there's upset from Kyle, from Amanda, from Paige, Sierra, about how Lindsay handled talking about the breakup, framing it as a Scandoval 2.0, saying that she was blindsided. There was a lot of focus on that. But I'm like, where is the focus on the actual relationship? We've skipped ahead to everybody understands that you shouldn't have gotten married, so let's talk about whether or not we think that you're lying here. And it felt like there was a lot of aggression that was at points a little overwhelming, because I'm like, guys, it shouldn't be this hard. There's stuff that the audience watched that should be countered here. Like, Andy, we understand you have upset. Production is upset because of what Lindsay believed happened when it came to some of the logistics.
Mm-hmm.
But also, Carl is not an innocent dove in the, I don't know if doves like hang out in the woods or whatever, into the woods. I just don't know, but it felt like we're continuing this narrative where it's this like evil domineering woman who's out for blood. And sure, was there an aspect of Lindsay you know, from hurt, from whatever else, who was having a certain direction of how she wanted audience members or fans to feel about the breakup. Like, you, I guess you could litigate how much of that is based on her feeling and how much of that is based on fact. Try to take that apart, like, you know, best wishes. But also, there were things that that Carl did that were wrong, but you wouldn't have known that necessarily if you watched only part two.
Yeah, I'm wondering, aside from maybe the question curation or the topics that were brought up, the fact that Kyle was so heated and I think amped, to use his word, it almost felt like that did more work to kind of let Carl off the hook a little bit.
Of course it did.
Because Carl didn't really have to say much at all in part two of the reunion, because there were numerous moments where it was like Andy asks a question to Lindsay, Lindsay says her response, and then where it might kind of, you know, popcorn over to Carl to kind of address what Lindsay said or answer the question in a different way. It was just Kyle jumping on what Lindsay had said and just sort of, you know, hitting the ball back to her. And then it felt like we would just kind of move on to the next thing. And I almost wonder, like, I don't know, I'm trying to think, I don't know if there's like any precedent for them doing this, but I almost am like, what if they had done a portion of the reunion that was just like Andy, Lindsay, and Carl?
I mean, LOL, Scandoval style. He did that with Sandoval. Did Ariana do it too? Ariana, Rachel.
Well, they did it separately.
Yeah. Oh, you mean the three of them together?
I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know if that would have been productive, but I do feel like just in terms of Kyle's sort of contribution to whatever that word means, like, if he had been removed from the conversation, I wonder if we would have gotten a little bit more of a productive two-way vibe between Lindsay and Carl. Not like productive where they need to be like making up with each other, but just we would have gotten more of Carl's words, which I think we kind of were missing.
Carl needs to I keep on calling Carl Kyle, which is probably not great. Carl needs to stand on his own two goddamn feet. And if I was Carl, but maybe not. I mean, I'm quite literally not Carl. Spoiler alert, I would have maybe said something. I don't know how you handle that when you're in front of the couches, but be like, you know what? I've actually got this. Like, let's just...
Right, to say...
But that's the whole issue with his relationship with Lindsay to begin with. Yeah. He never did that.
Right. Like, if he... In part two of the reunion, if he had said, respectfully, Kyle, I appreciate all of your support and defense and whatever. We're, you know, brothers or, you know, whatever the fuck. But, like... but, like, this is my situation. Yeah. And, like, I can answer for myself. I can have this conversation. Like you said, that's not necessarily Carl's vibe and how he handles his affairs. But it was like, I just think like, I didn't necessarily come out of that reunion thinking like, wow, Carl's the worst. We hate Carl. It just felt like, why did it feel so one-sided in the opposite direction?
I think Kyle thought maybe he was helping Carl, but I also think Kyle wanted to make sure his voice was heard. And that's a little bit fucked up. You're literally hearing two people whose relationship broke apart, including on camera over the course of several months. You should know enough. You should be mature. I mean, LOL, Kyle, maturity. Mature enough to just like take a step and feel like this is not my fight. Mm-hmm. And I'm not comparing him to Sandoval in the Scandoval era, but we saw that over the course of many seasons with Sandoval as well. This like feeling of being, I think the word I used on the deep dive was strident. Like there's just something about the ability to encapsulate a person's morality and criticize it and be really cutting and specific. Like Kyle is carrying the moral authority and the show lets him, because we're not talking about the fact that you called your wife a fucking bitch. You're trying to tell us now on the reunion that you didn't want her to work on her own stuff because you were concerned about the workload. Sir, if you're telling us, if you're connecting her mental health journey and struggles with what you said and your behavior during the season, you called her a fucking bitch. You said she was lazy. You said she would have been fired, that your CFO or whatever was asking why you're giving her a check. Nobody is checking him on that. And we're also, in addition to that, allowing him to drive the narrative of what happened in this relationship.
Can we also just talk about the moment where Andy's Please. Like, what do you two love about each other? And Amanda's answer is like,
oh God.
It's the same thing that I hate, but I love that he's just like such a fun guy and so social and outgoing. And Kyle's answer is like, from the moment I met her, you know, I'm 9 years older and she's just so mature and she makes me a better person every day. And, you know, she just gives me so much love and support. I'm like, wow. Okay. So what you're bringing to the table is that you like get blacked out and are like the life of the party. And what she's bringing to the table is like being like Mother Teresa. It's like, it's bleak.
When are they going to break up? Can we have that conversation? When is that happening?
Well, they're looking forward to spending time together at another wedding in Italy later this summer, so.
Right. He said, or she said, or somebody said, when they were like, why isn't Amanda
A source close to the couple said in a statement exclusive to Betches.
Oh, yeah?
Earlier this week, yeah. Betches.com. You can read all about it.
How when you were talking to him for that exclusive source?
I didn't talk to him.
Oh, no, of course.
The source is not Kyle.
No, okay. And somebody else.
I mean, I know who it is. It's not Kyle.
Yeah, okay.
Paris is always a good idea. And when I schlep on over to Europe, to my favorite city in the world, I bring with me a few important phrases that I have learned from housewives. C'est bon, chic c'est la vie. Je m'appelle the Countess, n'est-ce pas, Luann? And while those key phrases are important when speaking to any French bravoholic, for other matters of life, that's where Rosetta Stone comes in. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including, of course, French. It features fast language acquisition. It immerses you in so many ways. There's no English translations, so you really learn to speak, to listen, and to think in that language. It's an intuitive process. You pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. J'adore Chris Manzo. Et toi? There's a speech recognition filter which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's convenient with desktop and app options, and it's an amazing value. Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. A steal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, AGs can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Today. Sheena Marie, or as I will refer to her forever and ever, amen, Sheena Shea, has been right about a couple things in life. Number one, good as gold is a bop. Number two, apples are a delicious fruit. And also, family life is unpredictable, and a little peace of mind goes a long way. Now, as a single woman living here in New York City, Pedro Pascal, it's your time. Oftentimes, I am checking in with my friends because safety is important. And so is peace of mind. In fact, when I had a medical crisis a couple years ago, my friends didn't know where I was while I was in the hospital. The reason they knew something was wrong, true story, was because I didn't show up to a private shopping appointment downtown. That's where Life 360 comes in. Life 360 is a family connection and safety app that lets you keep track of the people and things that are most important to you. The people you need to know are okay. A focus that Sheena Shea keeps in mind. While Life 360 can be used for so many reasons, the option of ensuring that your kids are protected while giving them independence, checking on your friends, or for me, as someone who has some chronic health issues, to ensure that people know where I am. That's why I love Life 360. Another thing I love about it is that with all of these lovely European schleps, in addition to sharing my flight information with my mom, she can see exactly when I've landed because of the app. Parents have enough to worry about. Breathe easier with Life 360. Visit life360.com or download the app today and use code Andy's Girls to get 1 month of the gold package for free, plus 15% off all tiles. That's life360.com, code Andy's Girls. It's good as gold. After watching Lala and Sandoval's behavior on the Vanderpump Rules reunion, I developed such an intense thirst. I guess it's contagious when you're talking about Vanderpump Rules. So thank goodness for Fiji Water. Fiji Water is the number one premium imported bottled water brand in the United States. It has a perfectly balanced 7.7 pH, and unlike the other two top premium bottled water brands, Fiji Water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. In fact, Fiji Water has more than double the electrolytes as the other two, giving it signature soft, smooth taste. As someone who has spoken on the pod time and time again about the importance of having electrolytes, especially this summer, Fiji fits into my lifestyle so well. Before going on a little bit of a stroll, just a short one in these warmer summer temps, I grab my Fiji Water and I am out the door. Unlike some other premium bottled waters in the market, there's no ingredient statement on Fiji Water because there's nothing added to the water itself. Fiji Water is Earth's finest water. And as someone who's currently deep in the throes of watching Bravo's Finest Television, also known as Summer House, I know that having Fiji Water by my side is keeping me hydrated and refreshed. So Lala, take that.
When is that? I mean, talking about toxic relationships, God forbid, what's Kyle going to focus on now that Lindsay and Carl are no longer together? I assume Lindsay and her new man, if he films, at what point are we going to be like, hey, there's another toxic guy in this cast?
Well, yeah, I think it's like,
I mean, there are several.
But...
He's not the person I'm thinking about.
I know. It is like, now that the reunion is over, obviously everybody talks about what's going to happen next season, like the second the last season starts. But like, it is kind of assuming that they're going to be filming in like 2 weeks. It is kind of like, damn, okay, what is going to happen next season? Not just from a cast perspective, but like from a storyline perspective, that it's like, if you assume that most of this season's cast will be back, maybe with the exception of Danielle, or like,
do you think that's really gonna,
I mean,
she wasn't present for the reunion. She had some sparkle and we love that journey for her.
I do. I feel like, look, I like Danielle. I think Danielle is a great person. I've like,
do we?
I've met her. I've spent time with her. Like, okay. I, you know, like as a person IRL, I have no beef with Danielle.
Got it.
I love when I see her. It's always a nice time. I think that it just feels like her time on the show is, it's, I would be okay with this being the end of her time on the show, at least as a full-time cast member. Like, we don't always, not everything is forever, and that's okay. I just think that, like, looking at the makeup of the cast, if you assume that there's not room for more people than there were this season, then if you want to get some new blood in the show, you have to clip a couple, you know, you have to do some pruning. And I think that Danielle is probably the most logical spot to open up. I don't know what they're going to do with Lindsay and Carl. I've like gone back and forth on that, whether there's like a sort of like, you know, different format that they could try, where maybe like if Lindsay has like a cute little house to herself in the Hamptons and we like see her sometimes, like just in terms of, with Vanderpump this season, something that I think they struggled with was kind of the realism or lack thereof of all of these people who have these issues with each other ending up in the same place all the time and having to sort of maintain the fourth wall of like, why do I want to be in this place that my ex is at when I could literally be doing anything else? I don't know if it I know Lindsay and Carl and everybody have said that they can film another season together, but like just in terms of the structure of the show where it's like a group of friends doing a summer house in the Hamptons, like I don't know if it actually makes sense for Lindsay and Carl to both be there.
So I actually feel differently. I think it's going to be super easy for them to film. We talked about this a little bit before we started recording, but like, first off, all of these people are professionals. And as was made clear during the reunion, the primary source of income is the show. Carl is going to have zero interest. There's going to be discomfort. They're going to be uncomfortable, which is also very real. But I don't think there is any need for them to change anything. And I think it's helpful that the show is, in its essence, pretty manufactured. I mean, it's literally people drive from New York to the Hamptons because they're friends, but it's to stay in a summer house. So yes. I think you can accomplish and continue that. And I also think both Carl and Lindsay are like, we're not going anywhere. We can't afford to go anywhere. Honestly, I don't think they would even want to. I think they're kind of thinking like, we'll seek revenge when we pick up filming. I don't think it's going to be a problem.
No, I don't disagree with you, but I wonder from a production standpoint, are they both there every weekend? Like maybe we do a little bit of like two on, two off kind of thing. Like we already see people miss a weekend here and there. Mm. It wouldn't be that difficult for them to like, maybe they are there for like a couple of the same weekends, but I think that could be a way to kind of like switch things up a little bit without taking the step of like firing an OG to kind of be like, okay, like maybe you're around like 2/3 of the time this summer. Like I just think that in terms of like the overall group vibe, something that people have said they really enjoyed this season was that overall the house was getting along more than sometimes in the past. And I think that if Lindsay and Carl are both there every week, even though Lindsay says to Rolling Stone that Carl's just like another guy to her and that she basically like doesn't see him when he's in the room. I don't know. I think that there would be a little bit of like that credulity strain. Just, I don't know. I think just like having just kind of done that on Vanderpump, I'm like, I don't.
But they never, the Ariana and Tom are never like, he's just another person in the room. I mean, Ariana vehemently, viscerally did not want to be physically near Tom at all. And I think Lindsay saying that is like, okay, but do we believe that? I don't think that Lindsay, I think that some of that is a protection. Some of that's defense. Some of that is like, maybe because he'll see these quotes and she's saying, I don't think of you in any way. I'm sure that's a part of it too. The obvious, you know, answer here is there's obviously a precedent because they weren't getting along. They were fighting so much during the most recent season that they couldn't be there every time, that Carl was like, I'm going to, you know, hang back home on Friday nights because we're fighting so much that maybe a little bit of having a night off will give us a break. So that totally I could see happening where they maybe do a little bit of staggering. And the nice thing about Summer House is like everybody's going to a wedding. There's always things that are happening where they, you know, Paige is off doing, well, maybe not Paige, but like other people are off doing things. They might lose a weekend here or there. That feels normal. That feels like Summer House. I don't think that this upcoming season would potentially be as, it's not going to be easy, but like as quote unquote easy to film if Lindsay was not seeing someone right now. She's telling us she's in a serious committed relationship with someone that she dated for some period of time 3.5 years ago and has been dating again since January. When was the reunion filmed? April?
Yeah.
April,
maybe beginning of May, but yeah.
So she's been dating this person for like 4-ish months. It's very serious, which, you know.
He's an amazing guy.
He hasn't watched the show. I think that will
help. We love to find a unicorn who's like the perfect man that knows nothing.
Yeah, that's going to be
fascinating. Just like Louis.
Just like, oh God, let's not wish that for Linz. But another perfect gentleman on Bravo.
He's like, what's Housewives?
Who are you? Yeah, I think that it will certainly help matters that Lindsay is so happy and is telling us she's so happy. That can be a little bit of a distraction and also add an additional layer of tension of like, well, you're telling us you're really happy, but you're also a human with feelings. And I'm sure a level of anger toward this man who you thought you were going to marry.
And she was blindsided, Sarah.
Okay, how do you feel about it?
I feel like it's okay for people to have different definitions of the same word. And I think that Lindsay has established many times the way in which she felt blindsided. And I think that I'm fine with that. I mean, I think that with Lindsay and like reading the Rolling Stone article and watching the reunion and, you know, just like knowing what we know about her as a person, it's like there are certain things that in her mind are fact and are objective and are the way that something happened. And it's okay if that's her version of events and that's what she needs to believe and tell herself and, you know, go forward with. I think that, like, you know, there were things watching the show where I'm like, do I feel like you told him to get a job and then he broke up with you? It's like, not really. Like, I don't really think that's... It was interesting in the Rolling Stone thing. She said that when they were having all those fights in the last half of the summer, that it was like, it was about the job. It was about XYZ. It wasn't about our relationship. And I think that to me feels like she has sort of like created a disconnect in her mind where it's like, if you're fighting about something specific, then that somehow like is like on the other side of a curtain from your relationship. And I'm like, yeah, but like your relationship is all of those things. Like your, how you handle career stress and how you handle, you know, emotional things and how you handle family and all of that. Like what his parents are saying, like, all of that is like bundled up in your relationship. It's not like you can like separate out those things. And so it's like when you take the sum of all the parts, it's like you were fighting all summer and that was your relationship for the summer and you were supposed to get married. And I think like if she didn't feel like that was a level to which would make her call off the wedding, I think that is fine. Everybody has their own way of dealing with things, but I also think it does just feel like a little bit of a reach to say like we weren't having relationship issues, we were having issues about Carl's job. It's like either way, kind of like you didn't have a good time.
Yeah, and I think both of them struggle with avoidance.
Yes.
Obviously that is pretty clear in the dynamics of their relationship and the level of chaos and toxicity that was pretty evident throughout the summer. I also think with everything that Lindsay has experienced in abandonment, that she is a personality type who finds herself in a situation, her instinct isn't necessarily going to leave it. Her instinct is going to be to make things work.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit of a disconnect here in people thinking that she's lying for continuing to be in a relationship and not thinking that there's really a genuine option to leave it. I take her at her word.
Yeah.
I genuinely believe her when she says she just truly wasn't thinking that there was an option to leave, because that is sort of the model of how she has established commitment for herself, that she doesn't want to disconnect in that way. And that's something that maybe she'll work on when it comes to boundaries and standards and value, the value for herself. Are you really able to value yourself if you stay in this thing? It doesn't, though, make her totally a liar for being in a toxic relationship and not thinking that the toxic relationship at that point was going to end.
Yeah.
Maybe other people have different standards, and I don't really want to hear Kyle on that. Like, his standard
look perfect to me.
Such harm for other people that I'm not thrilled about it. You could talk to her about that, about like, well, what is it that you deserve? But it doesn't necessarily mean that she's like fully lying when she says that she was blindsided. It does not mean that she's intentionally trying to deceive. And I will also say there might also be a level of that. There might be a level of how she believes that she felt in that moment and how she wants to share it with the world. Like, we could talk a little bit about like the Scandoval, the waves of Scandoval stuff. I think that everybody's a little bit right here in talking about what led to their relationship ending. But I do also think when she was on that couch and she was like, I didn't think it was ending that day. I know that she knew there was going to be a tough conversation. She knew when she was told that production was coming, this was not going to be an easy conversation. She's discussed this on other interviews that she had, like, I think called her dad prior, told a friend prior, we're going to have some sort of conversation. She knew enough to be like, I need to call you after. She knew it wasn't going to be an easy walk in the woods.
Right.
But I also believe, I genuinely do believe that she didn't think it was going to end at that moment. And she has the right for, you know, people, if they choose to believe her.
Yeah. I also think something that I notice in the way people talk about their relationship, and it's happened with other relationships, is that it's like, people will be like, oh, she was so in love with the idea of having this perfect friends to lovers to whatever.
Right.
And that she was like, ignoring the issues or blind to the issues of the actual relationship because she just wanted this perfect like storyline or whatever. And I think that that's something where, like, I think people try and use that as like a dig at her, that it's like, oh, she's like such a, you know, calculated bitch or whatever. Like, she didn't care about whether she was in love. She just wanted her like perfect storyline. And I think it's more of something like kind of what you were saying, based on her past relationships and kind of her maybe like internalized things about abandonment and that type of thing, that it's like, I think that's kind of like a normal, like, it's an understandable thing that you would maybe retreat into the idea of like, I've been in these like shitty toxic relationships before, and now I've found this thing where it's this person that I've been friends with for all these years, and we found each other finally, and we're gonna get married, and it's gonna be great. And like, I think that's kind of like a natural, maybe even like self-protection, to the point that you might end up hurting yourself, where it's like, yeah, like, if your relationship on a day-to-day is struggling, it makes sense that you would kind of retreat into the idea of why you wanted it in the first place, and that maybe she hadn't quite gotten to the point of like waking up to the reality, and maybe Carl kind of got there before her, or was, you know, handling it in a different way. I'm obviously handled it in a different way, but that it's like, I don't think that's like indicative of Lindsay being like a horrible person because she wanted the relationship to work maybe more than was realistic.
And I also understand why the cast feels a certain level of frustration with her. They do not trust her, but that does not mean that she is lying. There are so many levels to this. And the thing that I found a little annoying was that it obviously the part two was especially lopsided, but there's a thing here that we're not really talking about, which is that there was a bone of contention previously between members of the cast and Lindsay because they felt like she was acting poorly behind the scenes. That's something that Andy sort of walked around at one point, but didn't entirely. I mean, I think for many reasons, he wasn't going to necessarily fact check her when he was talking about the fact that there were rumors and allegations that she was like especially disrespectful on the set at one point of Watch What Happens. Mm-hmm. Like, that's something that people have talked about on social, that the cast has certainly alluded to and done some winks to. And I felt a specific energy from Andy when he was saying, you told people that Carl called production and that didn't happen. And she's like, oh, well, you know, but would you be the type of person to make that call? To reiterate, he did not call production. There was just something underneath that from Andy where I'm like, somebody at some point needs to unpack this, ideally on camera.
Yeah.
Of like the level of frustration that Andy has, that the cast has, about maybe Lindsay's behavior behind the scenes that's affecting the narrative in a way that's really unhelpful for the audience. Because it feels like people are walking around. Listen, if Lindsay behaved poorly IRL, she's certainly not the first Bravo-leb to do it. Like, think of Ramona Singer on a Wednesday at 12. I'm sure that Lindsay is not 10% of the nightmare that is seeing Ramona Singer IRL or just at any point in time. But also, the Ramona stuff comes up on camera a lot because we know she's a piece of shit. With some of the Lindsay behavioral stuff, to me, it's affecting a lack of empathy that members of the audience are like clamoring for, of like, well, then we need to talk about some of this. If you guys don't believe her, and some of that's because of maybe behavior that you're seeing that we're not necessarily seeing, we should probably talk about that. Because also Andy was very mad in a way that I get, but why aren't you mad at other people in the cast? Unless, again, it's about something that happened or something that's going on.
Yeah, and that's something where it's like, I think that we've gotten to a point where certain types of fourth wall breaks or behind the scenes little like bits of info have become pretty commonplace, especially at reunions. I think obviously there's like, you know, the idea of a reunion is kind of the opposite of the fourth wall. Mm. But like there are certain kind of areas that still feel off limits a little bit. And I think something like the idea that a lot of the arguments or conversations that happen on camera are about maybe something between the lines that they're not quite able to say or willing to say or wanting to say. Like, I think specifically in the context of this reunion, it's interesting because it's like we are breaking the fourth wall in certain specific ways. I mean, I thought Andy clarifying kind of the way that those final scenes were set up was interesting. Like that was
new information to me.
Yeah. And also something that I've seen. So I've seen a level of skepticism on social media since the reunion part two aired, where people are like accusing Andy of lying or of like production lying about there. Like, I've literally seen multiple people say, like, do we believe Andy when he said that production wanted to film those scenes? Like, I think Carl actually wanted to. And I'm like, I don't think that Andy would like flat out lie about something that production did in that way. But also, when you say that they like picked cameras back up or they kept, or they, you know, went back into production, this was all like 2 or 3 days after that last weekend in the Hamptons. That is not the same thing. Picking up for a couple of kind of like tie up loose end scenes within a week of like the main part of production ending is not the same thing as Scandoval 6 months after they filmed, picking up for like a whole nother episode when the show had already been edited and was like in the midst of airing. Like, I do think that's something that I've seen people kind of making a comparison between. And I'm like, that's not the same thing.
Yeah, but also when Kyle gets a call the night before he's going to film a pickup scene with Carl, and the conversation is like, we don't know, like Kyle doesn't necessarily know what's going to happen in that conversation. You cannot tell me with a straight face that Carl had absolutely no idea.
Oh, no.
There was a pretty significant possibility that his relationship would be ending, especially if you cannot say out loud if you want to marry this woman and you're saying that in front of a camera crew. I get that maybe Carl didn't potentially beep 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 like call up Susie at production, but I also think production is watching, Carl is also watching, like his behavior, this was not as like clear as what I think the cast is trying to communicate.
Yeah,
like,
no,
he had no idea, and this was just essentially a mistake. It was a scheduling error, and then production just happened to be there to talk about fight. They fight all the time. Obviously, they did not necessarily know he was going to break up with her, but they knew there was something that was important enough for them to record.
Yeah, and I think anyone watching with a brain can.
But they're trying to tell us in real time.
Sure.
No, production has no idea. I mean, like, I get it. He didn't call. It's important to clarify that. But, like, we're also, everybody here has eyes and ears and is recognizing that something is about to happen. So to say that, like, Carl had no idea, you cannot tell. And I'm not saying you, but I'm saying, that kind of intention, which Andy was trying to set, I don't believe it.
If I had to guess, based on what Andy said at the reunion and like my own opinions and my own, you know, whatever inkling of how stuff happens, if I had to guess, I would say the production probably was like, hey, we want to like tie up whatever was going on with you and Lindsay. We're going to come film. Maybe Carl suggested the scene with Kyle.
I think Carl was like, I don't know what's going to happen. This isn't looking great. You guys know I spoke to my parents.
No.
You guys know what's
happening. I'm
not feeling
like,
great about where I am right now.
I don't think we can agree that it wasn't Carl being like, hey guys, come film me and Lindsay
breaking up,
but that maybe Carl was like, yeah, things aren't great. We definitely need to film this scene with Lindsay. And then maybe a conversation with Kyle too. Like, I don't know why production just like with no communication would just be like, yeah, let's do one with you and Kyle too. Like, I don't know. Like the scene with Lindsay seems like a natural thing to me where it's like, you guys weren't speaking at the end. We're going to come film your wedding in November. It would make sense to have a scene in the middle maybe that's like, where did we leave off after you weren't speaking on Sunday? But I do think that like the overall like narrative of that episode, I mean, I'm sure obviously it was like Carl was the one in the driver's seat there.
But I know it's hard to even try to talk about this because Kyle and Amanda did get married. So I know that there is the possibility that Carl and Lindsay could have technically gotten married because they were engaged to each other. So that would suggest the possibility that a marriage might end up happening here. It just feels so unbelievably low. They were sleeping in different rooms. They weren't communicating. They were fighting around the clock. He is on camera. She is talking about feeling uncomfortable in their dynamic. He is on camera saying like, you're not giving me what I need, over and over and over again. She's hugging him. She's like recoiling as she does it while he's instructing her to do it harder. And also
one more squeeze.
Sidebar, I watched People's YouTube has this like retrospective through the Carl and Lindsay breakup individually with members of the cast. It's like maybe 10 minutes long or whatever. And it went up, I think yesterday, which is when the part two aired, and Carl at one point says his love language is physical touch.
Interesting.
Sir, what? You don't want, over the course of what we understand about his like yada yada with Danielle, with Lindsay, at what point, not to say the physical touch can only be like P and V, but like, like sir, no.
Well, maybe he wants the physical touch of someone else.
Obviously, he's no longer with his fiance, so I'm assuming that physical touch will be with someone else. It won't be with Lindsay anymore.
Well, right, but like maybe like someone else.
You're not getting it. I'm not going anywhere near it.
It's okay. You don't have to.
I'm not. I shouldn't. It would be irresponsible of me. I'm a heterosexual. What am I? A lady? It's like, I don't even know. Nope. Not going to. Nope. Not happening. Not here. Not in the clavis. I thought that was an odd moment, but
yeah.
I just kind of feel like, I don't even remember what I was saying because now I'm distracted and thinking
physical
in my head.
Physical touch.
Physical touch prior to that. It feels like there's stuff here that the show is trying to communicate to us. Obviously, there's a fact check of what Lindsay is saying and also what she believed, because then she started to say, but he did call. And it's like, no, he didn't call. Okay, got that. But also, you cannot tell me that this man was not gearing more toward the fact that this wedding wasn't going to happen. And obviously, there was some awareness from production of that. Because why would you pick up filming for a day? The Kyle conversation and the breakup happened in the same day. Why would you pick that up if they are in fact getting married in November? Why wouldn't you pick up a couple days? Why is it one day with two conversations happening, Kyle and Carl and Carl and Linz?
Well, can I?
Please.
I think my like in theory answer to that would be they were going to film that day, and then based on what happened that day, they would decide if they needed to film more.
That's a good point.
Because they might have had...
That's a very good point.
Right, like, if you go back to September, maybe on the calendar, they had 5 potential filming days scheduled, and then they broke up on the first one, and then they didn't need the other 4. Like,
but I think, we're not hearing that. That would have been a perfectly understandable response from Andy when he's trying to fact-check.
I don't think that that's something that Andy would have shared. I don't think that, like, okay, I think that, the nuts and bolts of how that scene was arranged, to me, like, that feels relevant, but I don't think they would necessarily... I think there's certain kind of fourth wall things that it's like, we're not really hearing about, like, how production works in certain cases and, like, who's on... how a call sheet works or who's getting called from who. Like, I don't think they're going to get into that nitty-gritty of, like, what they were maybe considering doing if they didn't break up that day. Maybe they hadn't even gotten that far. Like, I think... based on the fact that this was a situation out of the ordinary, usually they leave the house at the last weekend and it's like, yeehaw, here's the credits. coming up on the reunion. So like it was kind of, you know, unprecedented circumstances for the show. So maybe they were saying, we're going to go film on Wednesday and we'll see. We'll see from there.
It just, to me, speaking of out of the ordinary, I get a little annoyed with the positioning of that scene as ordinary. Obviously, nothing
Carl
and
Lindsay's
relationship was ordinary, and thank God for that. This should not be the standard of relationships for either Carl or Linz or anybody else. But it's just this, there's like an error, there's an error here of like dot, dot, dot that I don't totally buy. And that's okay, by the way. It's okay. It turns out he wasn't explicitly calling up production to be like, I would like to break up with my fiance on camera. That's important for Lindsay to hear. I hope she feels comfort in that. I hope she feels comfort in that specific form of betrayal not matching up with the logistics. It does not mean she was not still betrayed. I would argue that the bigger betrayal was not him doing this on camera, because then it gets into a conversation of like, don't you love your job? Which, like, we're not going to get there. It's what he said about her on or off camera.
Right.
He said she was a piece of shit. He said she was a victim and is so manipulative and no one should or could believe her. He said terrible things about her that are not related to the logistics of planning a wedding, but finding out your fiance maybe hates you an awful lot. Mm-hmm. Like, she said stuff about him too, obviously. We didn't even get near the Cokie Carl of it all. There have been terrible things that these people have said to each other. But if this man is walking into that meeting, maybe it was the first time he thought about how he hated his fiance. I don't buy that. I think he knew, which, because he's a human person. He had a level of aggression and frustration and felt like he was being dismissed and whatever else toward Linz. Like, it's gonna come out that we're not really talking about that because the show didn't seemingly want us to, or it wasn't important enough to include. I know I'm one of many people who struggles with the all or nothing fads. Juice cleanses, soup diets, keto. Hours and hours of cardio. If this cycle sounds familiar to you, and it definitely does to me, there's a better, more sustainable way to lose weight. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight. And let's talk about the big O, obesity. 4 in 10 Americans struggle with it. So there should be no shame in the weight game. It's okay to talk about weight loss and talking about it in a way that feels healthy. With Row, you can sign up online from the comfort of your own home. That's right, the people's couch. This means no scheduling a doctor's appointment, no commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. Average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to row.co/andyscrolls. Sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ROW.co/andyscrolls. Before being prescribed medication, patients must complete an online medical visit, lab test, and qualify for medication based on their BMI, lab results, medical history, and the discretion of a Row-affiliated healthcare provider. Now that the temperature is rising, and I don't just mean the heat coming between Lindsay versus Carl, it can be really difficult to get my hair under control. I have like this wavy, curly, frizzy, natural texture that I genuinely love, but it can be really difficult to find a product that works for my hair without feeling heavy and genuinely counteracts the frizziness that I get naturally if I don't blow out my hair. That's why I love Way. Whether your strands are fine, medium, or like mine, thick, Way has shampoo and conditioner that's your type. I love the detox shampoo because it does exactly that. It detoxes your hair. And because I am a spiritual blonde and do have some color processing, the shampoo helps clean away all the schmutz that accumulates, leaving my hair feeling lighter and better than it did before. God bless that apple cider vinegar. And yes, for that frizz, I rely on the anti-frizz cream. I put it in after I shower, do a little scrunch of my hair, and I'm good to go.
way keeps me looking like me, just a little bit elevated. Jesse Solomon, have you heard my call? If you want volume, Way's Fine Hair and Conditioner will give you a lift without weighing you down. Not sure what your type is? Take Way's Hair Quiz to find out. Wash your way to healthier hair with shampoos and conditioners made just for you. Go to theouai.com and use code ANDY for 15% off your entire purchase. That's theouai.com, code ANDY. There is something wonderful about the change of seasons here in New York. No, not just upping my electrolytes when I go for a relatively short walk. It's the smell of summer grilling, especially for whatever reason, I don't know why, in the West Village. It's sort of my seasonal clock. When I start to smell people, that sounds crazy. When I start to smell summer grilling outside, I know summer is upon us. And listen, I can't dig into my veggie jog or veggie burger without some bread or buns. Just because it's summer doesn't mean you have to cut out all the carb-heavy foods you love. Hero Bread reinvented the bread and buns that make summer great. Fluffy, delicious flavor and texture with no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. For me, getting enough fiber and cutting down on sugar are key elements to feeling better throughout the day. Hero Bread also has mouth-watering limited edition bakes, like the popular 2 gram net carb Hero Croissant. As Luann would say, c'est bon, c'est bon. Keep the carbs out of summer without compromising flavor with Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co and use code ANDY at checkout. That's Andy at hero.co.
You know what I hope?
Please.
So, like you said, this, however the scene happened, it wasn't normal for the show to keep, you know, going. Yeah. I hope that it becomes more normal for the show.
We need this to be, speaking of musical theater, new normal.
Something that I have thought about a lot and have talked about in for a while is that I don't think that the format of Summer House is doing it any favors at this point. When you have a cast that we have built relationships with over almost a decade for some of them, but for, you know, multiple seasons, and you're following storylines, I think that it would benefit the show to be less reliant on the 6 weekends we film for 2 nights a weekend, and then we've seen more, you know, I think in the last couple seasons, it felt this year like we saw quite a bit of them in between weekends in the city. You know, we saw West in the park with his aunt. We saw him doing stuff with Sierra. We saw, you know, that Lindsay at her bridal shower. You know, like, I think that they have in certain ways kind of broken it up a little bit more. But I almost feel like at this point, if the show is more about following the lives of these people than it is about following a group of 7 friends who like to go to the Hamptons in the summer, like, I don't really know why at this point we need to stay tied to the like share house format of it. In a way, I'm not saying you should like get rid of the house being there, but like, I think that it would make sense if there are story, you know, with Housewives, for example. A lot of times when they're filming, they might have an event that is like intended to be the like finale of the season, like the, you know, the party. But that doesn't, that's not always the last scene we see. That's not always the very last moment of the season. And I think with Summer House, it makes sense that like, if we're following ongoing storylines in these people's lives, I would rather see the natural conclusion of that storyline than just cutting it off at the last Sunday of Labor Day weekend or whatever. And I think that like, you know, maybe it was a little bit clumsy this season, the way that it happened with Lindsay and Carl, but like, I would have been pretty annoyed if we didn't see some version of that in the finale. And I think that like, maybe in future seasons, they can kind of be a little more fluid with how the storylines are developing, who they're filming, where they're filming, when they're filming. And like, you know, I think that for a show that's been on this many years, also, to be honest, that would give them more flexibility with like, right now, the season aired a little bit later. It was a longer season. If they're supposed to be back into filming in 2 weeks, it gives them very little flexibility with filming timelines, with kind of casting, you know, most other Bravo shows we see, they don't have that pressure to be like back by a certain date, to be done by a certain date. Like they can kind of follow the contours of what's happening. And I think with Summer House, like that might not be a bad thing.
Yeah. And I think the idea that these people
also let them go on a vacation. I want to see them on a trip, because that's the thing. That's the thing. Like going to the house 7 weekends of the summer for 2 days is not the same as if they like went to Costa Rica for 4 days and were like
Bahamar.
That's because Lindsay posted a picture from Italy this week and she was like, cast trip to Italy question mark. And I'm like, let them go. The fact that we've never like,
Paige is Italian. She did the Italian dinner.
We've never like followed them anywhere.
Oh my God, the way that you're looking at me.
Also, I thought, I think it was Ira Madison, like somebody tweeted this week that it was like, oh my God, like Lindsay was probably mad because he broke up with her before the bachelorette party. So they didn't get to film the bachelorette party in Mexico. And it's like, film the bachelorette party in Mexico. They're not even filming them on the car to and from the Hamptons.
Yeah.
They're not getting on a plane to Mexico for the bachelorette party. Like that's something where like, I honestly feel like they sometimes still treat this show like the little like Bravo Junior show where it's mm-hmm. like, oh yeah, we'll send them out to a house for, you know, 12 days a year. And like, we get what we get and then we put it out. And I'm like, this show, this was their highest viewed season or whatever that they've ever had. It's like a staple Bravo show at this point. Like I do feel like in some ways they haven't gotten like the, I don't know if it's the budget or like the like creativity that some of these other shows get where it's like, yeah, like let's do a trip. I don't know.
They're spending all this money on these apartments they can't afford. We should see more of them. Honestly, it could be more of a write-off. Honestly, it does not make sense that Lindsay is now in this ridiculous apartment that they shouldn't have been affording in the first place, that she's now living in alone with some sort of like girl power landlady discount that she's discussed. We should see more of that. I would like to see more of that.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know like exactly what that would look like. It's not my job to figure that out, frankly. But like, I just think that with a cast like this, like with Vanderpump Rules, just as kind of, I think, the natural Bravo like comparison, it's like they're taking some time before they film the next season because they've decided that that is what makes sense for this show. And they have some stuff to figure out. And it's like with Summer House, like, they can't really do that the way that it is right now. And I'm like, maybe it would be good to open up that option. They could, if they started filming in August and they kept going to the Hamptons through September, but then they didn't finish filming till October. I'm like, I would be fine with that. Would that be so bad?
I would be very into it. Can we actually go back to a sensitive topic that I made almost an LOL out of skirting?
I suppose.
There has been conversations and speculation online about Carl relationships and potentially what's been discussed on Summer House seasons prior mm-hmm. with the Steven, with the outing of Carl being engaged in a intimate moment previously many years ago with a man. I want to get your thoughts on this because we're both content creators. We're both podcasters. Mm-hmm. And I'm a straight woman who, happy pride, by the way. That's honestly part of the reason why I'm bringing this up, because I'm uncomfortable having those conversations because I think it's so speculative. To me, it's inappropriate as a straight woman to be speculating on another person's sexuality, especially on such a public platform. Mm-hmm. I'm just curious for your thoughts as a content creator, as a podcaster, and as a gay man. What's kind of your reaction when those conversations exist? It doesn't need to be specific to Carl, but yeah. Just kind of because it comes up a lot with housewives and husbands as this weird kind of plot point. I'm saying weird as in like people weaponize it. That is what's strange to me.
I think the thing for me is that like in terms of like social media discourse or like, you know, chatter or just like jokes or whatever, to me, like in 2024, and I know I have a certain privilege in like, you know, where I live, the industry I work in, whatever. Saying like somebody is gay is like not that deep. It's not that serious. Like it's not something particularly like harmful to talk about. And so I think that like the tone matters. But like if somebody makes a joke about like, LOL, this person, you know, Shawn Mendes is actually the person that comes to mind for me, because they've just been like, for years, it's been like a running joke online that people think Shawn Mendes is gay. Is he gay? He said he's not. I have no reason not to believe him, whatever. But like, if I see a tweet about Shawn Mendes, LOL, maybe being gay, I'm like, okay, like if he takes great offense to that, I kind of feel like it almost was more about him than it does about the person who made a joke, whatever. But then it's like, I do think that in the actual context of these shows, sometimes it is treated like this, like, salacious thing, that it's like, if somebody's husband is gay or somebody's, you know, whatever. I just think, like, Bravo has, or maybe people on Bravo shows have kind of like a tough track record of like how gay people and queerness in general has been kind of handled and depicted and portrayed. And so I think that sometimes, like, in the context of a show, like, to have gay rumors about someone's husband, it is treated as this like total bombshell, and a lot of the time seems to be kind of concocted in a way that is supposed to be malicious. And it's not like, it would be one thing to say like, no, I heard from, like, I have, you know, evidence that this was a thing that happened, and if it's like a cheating thing, that's has a separate dynamic to it. But if it's just like, your husband's gay, it's like, okay, like, what are we doing here? Like, what's the, I don't know, I'm probably doing a bad job of like, I think it is, it's tricky, because it's like, in my day-to-day life, I'm like, who cares? But then I do think that, like, when you bring it up on a platform, on a show where, you know, people are out to get other people, it's just like, it does become a little bit more complicated. And I think, like, you know, I'm fortunate in my life to like not have to think that hard about like who's gay and who's not, because a lot of people are, a lot of people aren't, and nobody really like gives a fuck. But I don't know. I mean, I think with Carl, like, I feel like it's something that it just is like, it hasn't really been a conversation in such a long time, so it's kind of like, who cares? Like, it doesn't feel like it's actually like the main, it doesn't feel like it's like the main element at play in a discussion about like Carl's relationship with Lindsay, in a way that makes it like a little bit irrelevant. But then also it's like, you know, I don't know how he feels about that. Like, it's not something that we're really talking about a lot. So I don't know. It's complicated, but I think it's interesting to bring up. But then there's like not a, there's not a clear cut answer for me of like how, you know, whether it should be talked about, whether it shouldn't be talked about, whether it is something to joke about, whether it's something serious. Like, I don't know. I think it's kind of like a case by case basis. But then even then, it's just like tricky.
Yeah, I feel like that, you know, as you said, Bravo has such a terrible track record. I'm thinking of stuff that's happened as plot on Orange County, stuff that's
yes,
happened
Orange, as plot. Orange County does come to mind.
Orange County comes to mind. Atlanta comes to mind. And there's been some, you know, unfortunately, I can think of examples from, frankly, almost every franchise. And I just think, as a straight woman, I would not feel comfortable having that conversation, because to me, spiritually, and I could be completely wrong, and I'm sure that there are members of the gay community who have an array of opinions, as they have every right to. I just think it, to me, just instinctively feels, I have no idea what Carl is experiencing or is not experiencing, but I kind of go off of what it is that's happening on TV, what it is that he may or may not say, you know, like, mm-hmm. It just feels to me a little bit too connected with, we're getting on this path now, but this person that we're talking about isn't participating in it.
Yeah.
Where it's like a little outing to me, where it's not even, and not even, LOL is a weird way to phrase it, but like, it's not just about the conversation of how sexuality can be weaponized, especially against gay men, on Housewives and on Bravo, used as a way to question someone's manhood if they're a part of the LGBTQ community. Mm-hmm. There's a terrible history of that on Bravo, which is unfortunate, which hopefully is something that we will see the show working toward changing. Maybe we see those changes take place. I just also think, like, if we're having a conversation and that person that you're talking about isn't a part of the conversation, I mean, that's sort of podcasting at the end of the day. We're talking about these people, but I'm not getting texts from Lindsay as I'm talking about her. But also, because that has not been, because that's been created recently on social, and it's being connected to the reasons that Carl is breaking up. It just feels too many layers removed. Yeah. Where I'm like, I don't know what value this is bringing, and I can imagine the value that it's not, which is not to criticize anyone's intentions for saying it, but I just recognize as soon as I kind of like batted it off that I actually think it's an opportunity to discuss why I did that, why I was like, yeah, I don't want to go anywhere near it.
Well, I think it's interesting to think about, like, you brought up Steven, who I think was, like, objectively not a very good cast member on Summer House. Like, I don't think that there's, like, any, you know, I don't have an issue with him not being kept on the show after he was. But then, like, since then, there hasn't been, at least that I'm thinking of, and, like, an out queer person on the show, at least certainly not like a gay man.
No, and there has been speculation as a form of plot, like with Jordan. A lot of people were speculating on his sexuality.
But I think that's something where it's like,
in the cast, I mean.
Right, but like,
let alone the audience.
Right, so like, but they have clearly not made an effort, or if they have made an effort in casting, it hasn't made its way onto the show to like queer up the cast of Summer House. Yeah. Like that hasn't happened, whether or not they've talked about it, tried to do it, whatever. So like then when there is kind of this like subtext or maybe even text sometimes of talking about someone's sexuality or speculating about it or, you know, whatever, then it's like there's no actual representation of this group on the show. So then if you're having a conversation about it in a way that's at all like negative or even like, you know, just sort of questionable, it's like that group doesn't actually have like a voice in the conversation in an active way. And I mean, certainly this is not the only, you know, spot or way on Bravo that this has come up. You know, like we've seen so many of these casts just be like all white people for however many years. And then it's like, if there ever was a conversation about race, it's like, okay, well, there's...
Is Luann going to lead it?
Exactly. Right. So I think that's something where it's like, not that this has been, you know, the main topic that's come up on Summer House for these last however many seasons, but like, you know, it's somewhere in the soup, and like there hasn't really been a way to necessarily productively have that conversation on this show.
And I just want to make clear that in some of the conversation I'm seeing online on social, questions to me of like, this is a point of conversation, I do think that a lot of people are coming to it from the perspective of like trying to understand this person and trying to like maybe potentially seeing nuance here that may or may not be there. So I do want to say that it's not like people are necessarily making mockery kind of disrespectful on their face jokes about this. That's, I'm not trying to paint everyone talking about this through that light. I am just saying that there's a reason why it hasn't come up on Andy's Girls. And, you know, as someone who's not a part of the LGBTQ plus community, also IA.
You put the plus in there. It's good.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
There's a lot of letters.
There's a lot of letters, and I love letters and also consonants. LGBT. There's a
letters.
Vowels,
letters are vowels and consonants.
Okay, thank you.
All 26 of them.
Oh yeah, not 32. Okay, great. I just want to clarify that it's not like I'm like, how dare you, you know, send me this DM. I'm just saying, like, you know, it's something that I'm taking note of, and something that I'm just not terribly interested in talking about. Certainly on a public platform, but I think the conversation of why I'm not doing it, talking to someone who's a member of that community, is valuable.
Yeah, and I mean, it's there are like, everybody has their sensitivities and everybody has certain topics that it's like, for example, it's like, I don't really have any interest in talking about people's bodies. Like, it's just like things like that where it's like, do I understand that that's something that people talk about? Do I see people talking about it? Do people DM me stuff about like, oh, she looks too skinny? I'm like, I don't need to. That's not something that I care to like debate on a podcast. But it's like, I'm not like horrified that anybody ever would. It's just like, I'm good.
This is probably just not necessarily the space for that. Probably not necessarily. I'm doing such a good word of stringing, such a good way of stringing words together as I fuck that sentence up. Yeah, I think we are on the same page.
We
with a
see
lot.
Each other.
We do see each other. And that's why I literally love having you on the podcast. I cannot believe it's been a minute, but I also think I take for granted that we talk 24/7. So I'm like, did someone not record that?
Like, where have we been?
The mic, was that just an iPhone 12 or whatever the fuck I have? 14 plus, thank you so much. Listen, Dylan Hafer, thanks so much for being a part of this journey. I know this is a two-parter episode, and God bless us for that. Before
I gotta go.
No, you don't. I'm topping you here so we can talk about Teresa and Louis.
There you go.
In the meantime, can you tell the AGs, you've had so many Bravo Lebs on Mention It All recently. You have such incredible access. Can you tell us a little bit about maybe guests that you've had on the calendar, guests coming, where people can follow you, and a little independent business you might have heard about called Bravo by Betches, just a little startup company where you can follow that account on social, all that and more?
Yeah. So you can follow Bravo by Betches. I'm at Dylan Hafer. Mention It All, we do 3 times a week. It's a lot of, you know, recaps talking about whatever's going on. The schedule is in an interesting place these days, so it gets a little dicey sometimes.
You gotta subscribe.
Let's see, we had Jen Fessler was in the building a couple weeks ago. It was fun to chat with her. I love something that I think is really fun is like talking to people in a cast that is very contentious who are like just maybe one step
removed
from some of the contention. I also had, like, toward the end of the season of The Valley, I had Jasmine on the podcast, and I had a fun time talking to her because she was like so down to talk about the Brittany and Jax of it all, the Michelle and Jesse of it all, and she's like friends with them, she knows them. It's not like she's some like rando who doesn't have any insight, but like she also is like, oh yeah, I'll talk, like I thought it was weird, like whatever. So people like that I think are kind of more fun sometimes than like whoever's in the like eye of the storm. But yeah, it's a good time. We're trying to get people in the summer, honey. It's like, where is everyone? But it's a good time. Yeah, three times a week, wherever you listen to Andy's Girls, Mention It All.
Amazing. And where can people follow you and your very famous and successful Bravo by Betches account?
At Bravo by Betches, at Dylan Hafer. Just cranking. Just doing it all.
I love a good crank. Listen, you can tell me on Instagram at Dame Galley and also allegedly Threads, and join the Andy's Girls Patreon. It's the number one way to support the pod. You get exclusive bonus episodes and so much more. Working on a satchel spectacular. I got a big old satchel of gold about Summer House. I'm excited to unpack, and certainly your thoughts about New Jersey as well. You can listen to those bonus episodes exclusively on the page at patreon.com/Andy's Girls. Dylan Hafer, SBBD. SBBD, thank you so much for coming back.
Thank you for having me.
All right, guys, thanks to you for listening, and we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.